Hello and welcome to the Midweek St Mirren Show. On tonight's show, we'll discuss Saturday's 2-2 draw with Hibs and look ahead to the weekend's action as the Buddies take on Falkirk. David Van Zanten answers some of your questions on Saturday on St Mirren TV, and we'll bring you his answers to those. And we'll also hear from the new head of youth, Al McManus, about getting to work and implementing his new and own ideas. But first, let's take a look back over Saturday's draw with Hibs and hear what manager Alex Ray had to say after the match.
Henderson now, but 35 yards out, thought about the strike. McGinn comes in again towards the left side. McGinn ball through, and here's Cummings! Rolls underneath Jamie Langfield, flag stays down, and Jason Cummings at it again. He's 19th of the season. Earlier, but he does go for a long throw up high. Bartley trying to get in the mix again, now rolling on the floor. Carswell header in, and there is Rocco Quinn! Flag stays down! It looked like he may well have been offside, but it doesn't matter. It's goal given. Rocco Quinn for 1-1. So throwing with Watson on the right side in towards Shankland. Gallagher. Shankland into the box. Shankland shoots! And into the left corner. Low, powerful and superb from Lawrence Shankland. His 9th goal of the season on the Championship and an absolute belter. McGregor trying to poke it into the box. Irvine heads only sideways. Stokes in the right edge of the box, tries to fling it across, and El Allegi has equalised from about 10 yards out, and he's poked it into the left corner, and can you believe it, St Mirren may well have thrown it away, 2-2. And that is game over. The referee blows his whistle, Craig Charleston, and in the end it's a 2-2 draw between these two sides.
I thought it was a really good performance for the boys. I was a bit disappointed to go in the manner in which we lost the first goal. I thought it was a cheap goal from their point of view. It was a simple run down the side, and then obviously they got their goal from that. But I think in general play in the first half, we kind of restricted them to very few chances on Jamie's goal, and I was just trying to highlight the importance of the midfielders trying to get closer to McGinn and Batley and that, and they managed to do that. And once they started getting closer and getting some tackles and that, it gave us a bit of momentum. And when we go 2-1 up, I felt as if we'd done enough to see it out. So to actually lose it in the manner in which we did in the dying seconds was really difficult to take. But I have to give the boys credit, because you're up against a really good football team there, and you know, the spirit and the application, and that was great. I was really, really pleased with them today.
And it seemed to be a game full of a lot of events, maybe a bit unlike last week. It was a bit of a quieter game perhaps, but today they seemed really up for it.
Well, I wouldn't say that they weren't up for it last week. They competed well enough. I just think we lacked a little bit of quality last week, whereas today we actually got a little bit more of the ball, kept the ball better, moved from side to side, and as the game was wearing on, I felt we were the team that was growing into it. It's difficult though when they start putting on guys like Dagno and El Algoui, so that there's some decent players that and they threw caution to the wind, and unfortunately we just couldn't see it out.
And what was your take on the Rocco Quinn goal, and were you actually a bit surprised that he was in that position?
No, well, at half time, because I've got to be honest, initially I thought he was offside, but apparently the Hibs players flicked it back towards his own goal, which obviously makes him active again. So I think if that's the events, I haven't obviously seen them, then I'm sure that's then it's a legitimate goal.
And just finally, before I let you head off, where'd you go from here in the run into the end of the season?
Well, I've got a wee night out tonight, pal, so that that's a starter for 10.
Well deserved, I think.
No, listen, to be honest, we've got a wee charity tonight. But no, listen, I think the important thing for St Mirren at the moment is we've got 4 games now, and we've got Rangers here, we've got Derby here, we've got Falkirk away, which will be a good game, and then obviously Dumbarton as well. And you know, I want to try and keep on the front foot as much as possible, and it's obviously a nice hard fought point today.
That's great, thanks very much, Alex.
Now joined in the studio by Smyrna TV and radio producer James Hunter. James, thanks for joining us. That Smyrna 2-2 draw against Hibs, a decent result, but a win would have taken them up to 5th place. Do you think that's an opportunity they missed out on?
They'll be disappointed having led the game and to concede so late. I don't agree. Obviously, Callum's a good commentator for us on St Mirren TV and radio, said they maybe threw the game away. I don't agree that they threw the game away, but they'll be disappointed to have lost the late goal. Say it was a chance to move above Morton and Queen of the South, and they've been sitting on 5th, which would have been nice, would have been a good weekend's work. But it wasn't to be. They played really well though, I thought, especially second half. And you know, they were up against a good side. I know Hibs have been really out of form this season. Well, not this season, the last couple of weeks. But it was still a good win, because they are still a good squad, and they've got players that can punish you. You know, you look at, like, John McGinn that used to be here setting up Jason Cummins. Jason Cummins scored quite a few goals this season as well. You've got, like, Anthony Stokes, Liam Henderson on loan from Celtic. So there's some good players in there. So I think a point was quite a good point.
And as you mentioned there, a lot of positives, and one of those would be Lawrence Shanklin. He scored his 9th goal of the season, a very much well-taken goal, and we can talk about his goal-scoring prowess as well, but the long throw-in, it's becoming a trait now, and it's causing teams a lot of hassle.
Well, yeah, the long throw-in caused havoc for the first goal, Rocco Quinn's goal, and he almost fashioned a chance for himself at St Mirren were 2-1 up, where he threw the ball long, and it headed back straight to him, and he flashed at the ball and it just went wide, you know. So it really is a dangerous weapon for St Mirren to use in on the field, you know. Sometimes you'd maybe want your strikers in the box and in around the area to try and get on the end of things, but you know, when he possesses that, you know, it's really, it can work.
Yeah, of course Shanklin scored the second goal in that match, but Rocco Quinn scored the equaliser. Rocco Quinn, how important is he to the St Mirren side?
Well, he just came back, you know. Don't think he had much. He'd been out for a couple of weeks. I think it was a calf problem he had. I'm not entirely sure. I can't remember. But he's a very experienced player, and you know, I think earlier in the season he maybe lacked that experience. You know, he's played in the Premiership, the Scottish Premiership, for the last couple of years with Ross County, and he's been at this level with Queen of the South and when Ross County were in the Championship, when it was the old First Division. He's a good player, an experienced player. He was one or two training sessions, I think, and then he was back in the first team, you know. Alex Ray spoke to us on the St Mirren show, the preview show, at 1:30, and he, this was before we were allowed to talk about the teams, and but he did allude to the fact that Quinn would probably feature. And the way he spoke, it sounded like he would start. And I think that shows kind of the faith Alex Ray has in Rocco Quinn and the importance that Alex Ray puts on Quinn.
Now, we must talk about this, but Rocco Quinn's goal, suspicious offside. We've talked so much about it this season. We think, you know, St Mirren haven't had, you know, kind of rub of the green. And then they get it in a game, kind of, you know, the fourth place is out of its hands. But what did you think of the goal? Was it offside, or did it hit off a... You know, did Hibs player flick the ball onto Rocco Quinn to finish?
I mean, you look at it from the TV pictures and it looks like it's offside. I think to the naked eye as well, if you were in the stadium, it looked offside. It could possibly have taken a nick off a Hibs player. I don't know if it did. I think there was a suggestion from some of the St Mirren players that it was actually the Hibs player who got the flick on, which is why Rocco Quinn was able to, you know, not be flagged offside. I don't know. It looks like Carswell heads it on. Looks like it's offside. But, you know, there's been a lot of times this season when, like you mentioned, luck's not gone for St Mirren this season, you know, and it's not a case of the luck, even the decisions and whatnot, evening out. But it's just, you know, they've got the rub of the green this time.
Now, St Mirren had a good healthy support on Saturday, and it'll be really important for them, you know, towards the end of the season. They've got Renfrewshire Derby next week, and they've got a home game against Rangers. But how important is that St Mirren support, the core support, to stay here, you know, for the towards the end of the season, but then also looking forward to, you know, a new season coming up?
It really makes a difference. You know, it always looks much nicer when you're out in the stadium and it looks busier, you know, it just feels more vibrant. I think you look at the Bring a Buddy Day last month against Queen of the South, when the North Stand was packed kind of with St Mirren fans, and it was great, you know. It was great to have that kind of that atmosphere and enthusiasm. And I think David Farrell remarked about how, you know, it does give the team a lift on the pitch. You know, you do notice it, because that support, it drives them on. And I think the support on Saturday were excellent, and I think they did contribute to the result in some ways.
Now, of course, we've been talking about the support. Two huge games coming up at home, one to Greenock, one to Rangers, and also they've got Falkirk away this weekend, and then Dumbarton is our final last away game of the season. How do you see the end of the season panning out for Simmering?
I think the aim is to try and do what they didn't manage to do on Saturday and try and get that fifth place and try and keep it. You know, you've got to look at the games coming up. Falkirk on Saturday is going to be tough. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Falkirk are in decent form at the moment. They've obviously they've got a wee bit of a grip on second place as it stands, though Hibs have a game in hand. So that would be tough going away there. You know, we went there in October on Halloween and got beat 3-0. It was a really tough afternoon.
Can you sort of see that replicating in this type of match? Even though, you know, a few weeks ago the two of them played each other and Simmering looked a lot stronger than what they did.
Yeah, no, I would be very surprised if Falkirk were to win by that margin again on Saturday. You know, they are a good side, but I think since Alex Ray's come in, he's really stabilised things and they do look a lot tighter at the back and they score goals as well. So I think they'll give Falkirk a game on Saturday. And then you look at the other games, you know, Dumbarton away, you would hope that you can win that game and just, you know, to give yourself another 3 points and propel yourself up the league. And, you know, you want to get almost like a sense of, not revenge, but, you know, they beat St Mirren home and away earlier in the season. So you want to kind of get them back. And then the Rangers game and Morton game. The Morton game is going to be huge and hopefully there'll be a big crowd here for that to try and G them on and try and push above Morton, because it would be nice to finish above Morton despite the kind of start to the season the club had.
This is St Mirren Radio, brought to you by the University of the West of Scotland. Look at what you could learn at uws.ac.uk.
Now, earlier this afternoon, we caught up with St Mirren's new head of youth, Alan McManus, to discuss taking over from David Longwell and how he's settling in to the job.
Welcome to St Mirren, Alan. You've been coaching for a while, but now you're the head of youth. How did it come about that you got the job?
As you say, I've been in for 5 years now, and it's I've been coaching for a lot longer than that, about 15 years. But obviously, being friendly with David, became aware that David was obviously going to be going to Orlando, and that his position would be made available. So had a long think about it, and obviously put my CV in, applied for the job. So I was fortunate enough to get an interview, and obviously had my interview, and obviously a short time after I was fortunate enough to be offered the job, which was fantastic for myself. It's something, you know, that I've been desperate to do for a long, long time, is get back in to professional football on a full-time basis. So, yeah, that's how it came about, really.
Well, that was just kind of what I was going to ask you there. How did it feel to get back into football on a full-time basis? I mean, obviously, you're an ex-player, having played with the likes of Hearts and Livingston and whatnot.
Yeah, it's very hard to explain that feeling. As I say, I was fortunate enough to play for a long time. But I've also been coaching for a long time, and to get back in after a wee while, there's no better feeling, to be honest. You can't describe that feeling of getting on the training pitch every morning and trying to develop and improve players to make them even better than what they are.
How's it been for you since you've taken over and kind of been able to put your own stamp on things? Obviously, it's still early days.
Yeah, it's been manic. Obviously got a lot to do in a short period of time. Trying to obviously introduce myself to, you know, all the teams, getting to know everybody. I know the majority of the staff behind the scenes, which help, obviously. So I'm surrounded by a lot of good people there. But the main thing is to get up to speed with, you know, getting to know all the players within the academy better, and introducing myself to the parents, etc. As regards to putting my own stamp on things, you know, that will take a bit of time. I think myself and David, we've known each other for a long, long time, and I firmly believe in the style and the philosophy that he's put in place which has been, you know, obviously proven to be successful, and with the amount of young boys that have progressed into the first team. So I'm certainly not going to tear up or rearrange, you know, what's working. I'd be very stupid naive to do that. What I'm looking to do is find ways, can we enhance it? And that's the challenge, is can we improve what is an already fantastic infrastructure in place, and just look to add other ideas which can make the players even technically better than what we're producing just now.
Well, you mentioned making maybe some players technically better than they are at the moment. If you look at St Mirren and the academy this season, the likes of Jack Baird, Sean Kelly, Stephen Mallon, even Kel McAllister, Barry Cudahy and whatnot have come through. Was that important for you when taking the, when looking at the job, thinking there is a pathway for young players into this first team?
I think that always, what it does for me is it shows two things, that the curriculum and the academy philosophy is working, because yes, we want to give youth a chance at any football club, but bottom line is they have to be good enough. You don't just get a game in the first team because you're a young player. So the lads have earned it because of how hard they've worked. So yes, it is. It's a real opportunity for all the young lads within the academy, whether, you know, down at under 11s or up at under 20s. If they put in the hard work and they keep progressing and doing well, then there's going to be opportunities. That's the way the club's looking to go forward. And it can only be beneficial for the management and obviously the club as a whole.
Obviously the Development League is still underway at the moment. You played Hamilton last night. Does it make your job a wee bit more difficult coming into it, that the season's still kind of underway? You're just looking to try and maybe get those games out of the way and then kind of focus on what you want to do?
Well, yeah, it was, you know, you want to get hands-on straight away, which I've been fortunate enough to do, albeit it wasn't a particularly pleasant experience last night. Took a bit of a sore one against Hamilton, but I've been in football long enough to know that you have as many lows as you do highs. But no, we're not. We don't want to get them out of the way. What it does, it gives me time to take a step back and analyse the lads that are there, and can we see them progressing to the next level, which is ultimately to be chatting in the first team door. So no, we're not wanting to get the games out of the road. I think it's great for myself that there's still a few games to go, and it allows me to, as I say, take just a back step and watch from afar, and make sure that when the decisions are made at the end of the season, on the younger ones, that it's the right decisions.
Just finally, looking in a kind of a broader sense in terms of the landscape of Scottish football, how do you think things are looking at the moment? Do you think now we're maybe going to see some more young players coming through that could take us to, you know, the Euros or the World Cup, etc.? And is that part of what drives you?
What drives me is being able to work on the training field every day and try and improve young players to make them as good as they can be. And ultimately, my job is to get them there in and about the first team. I can't speak for any other club. I think it would be disrespectful of me to do that. All I know and believe is that at the club that we're involved at the moment, St Mirren Football Club, that's a key area, is developing good, technically sound young players and promoting them into the first team. And that's the way the club want to go. So my job is obviously to produce as many good young players as possible. David's done a fantastic job so far, and obviously it's up to myself now to keep that going.
That was Alan McManus there. James, you spoke to him about you know, his role and how he's come into Head of Youth Development here at St Mirren. Is it important for Alan to stick with the same philosophy that David Longwell had?
I think it helps. It makes it a smoother transition, you know. So if you had somebody coming in if they had a completely different mindset to David and wanted to play the game different, wanted to develop players differently, you know, it can have a detrimental effect. It can be a tough one for the players to adjust to and whatnot. And I've always kind of felt that the way David Longwell liked to play football and liked to develop players was the correct way. I think that's, we should be encouraging players to work with the ball more and, you know, work on their skills like that. So I think it is a positive thing, and I think that was kind of probably a driving force behind Alan getting the job. Had obviously coached with David and then had the kind of same ideas.
Thank you, James. Now, David Van Zanten joined us on Simmern TV on Saturday to provide co-commentary for the game against Hibs. Last week, we asked you on social media to send us your questions using the hashtag AskVanzy. We asked him some of those at half-time, where he was joined by Dalen Dougherty.
We'll move on now to the hashtag that took the world absolutely by storm on Thursday, which was hashtag AskVanzy. Know anything about this?
Yeah, I had a few questions asked me on Thursday on Twitter, yeah.
Right, so we've got a first one for you. What was your funniest away trip you had? And that was none other than Jason Naismith that asked that one.
Jason's probably referring to a trip we had. It's a bit of a story behind this. Part of our bonus game at the end of the season, if we finished eighth in the league, the club said they would pay for a holiday away for us, a trip away. So going into the last game against Hearts at home, we were in eighth position. So, sorry, it was seventh. We need to finish seventh, sorry, I'm telling a lie. And I had everything arranged. I had the flight all just right to click a button, the flights, hotel, all sorted. And we ended up, I think we lost that game. We ended up finishing eighth. And you'd swear we'd been relegated when we were in the dressing room after the game. But the chairman was kind enough. He came down and I had a little word with him and asked him
sweet
very nicely.
I
sweet talked him, to be aye. Fair, and he was brilliant. And he said, right, this is your budget, go and sort it. And we went to Ibiza, and it was three nights. And again, it was one of them. It was a blur. There wasn't much sleep involved. And it was just a great bunch of boys. I think it ended up 14 of us went away. And it was just one big laugh from start to finish. And loads of brilliant stories. And it just gone away with a great bunch of boys. And we had an absolute brilliant time.
Well, the Black and White Army have asked, was it a cross or a shot? We'll just have a little look at that now. Blow the dust off this.
I think you can make your own mind up on this. I call it a cross shot. It was a total mix. There you go. Look,
oh, I think that's
totally deceived the keeper. He didn't know where to come or go there.
I mean, if Messi scores that, that's world class.
Sky Sports News will be playing that all night, aren't they? No, I'm not being honest. I think it's obvious it was a cross. I just started to put it in an area for someone to get a flick on. Enough, it crept into the back post, and that was obviously the goal that meant I didn't have to wear the mankini in front of the fans here and sing like a virgin. So it's probably the happiest I've ever been in my life, to be honest.
Chick Gibson on Twitter has asked, is it tough being a Dutch / Irish hunk? I mean, you must be batting the ladies off in your days with that.
The reputation, it's obviously a very tough one to live up to. But I thrive on pressure, so I quite enjoy it.
Gavin McGill, what era was your most enjoyable, and who was the best player you played with in these times? So it's 2005-06, 2012-13.
It's a really difficult. Obviously, the cup win was fantastic. It was such a big achievement, winning a major tournament, and the celebrations were brilliant. But I just always look back on the season 2005-2006. We did the double, you know, we won the Bells Cup at the time, we won the league. It was such a close-knit group, everybody from the manager, the coaching staff, right down to all the players. It's such a brilliant season, so many, you know, celebrations, obviously with the cup win and then with the league win. And the group of players we had, just a brilliant group of players. That team now, you know, I honestly believe it'd be easily a top six team in the SPL just now, the players we had. And probably if I had to pick one player out, you know, and he's gone on to probably have the best career out of a lot of us, and that's Charlie Adam. You know, he went down south, he's still playing the Premier League. You know, he's outstanding at Blackpool, got moved to Liverpool, and then went on to Stoke. He was outstanding that year for us. You know, if we needed a goal from somewhere, you know, Charlie would pop up and do something brilliant.
This is St Mirren Radio, brought to you by the University of the West of Scotland. Look at what you could learn at uws.ac.uk.
That was David Van Zandt there answering some of your questions. The video is available on our official YouTube page where you can see that cross-shot goal they were discussing. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at St Mirren Radio and at St Mirren TV. You can also like us on Facebook by searching for St Mirren TV and Radio. The Midweek St Mirren Show is available on iTunes Store as a free download. Subscribe and you'll never miss an episode.
Yeah, well, let me tell you about a big-hearted Paisley dad. His name is James Murphy. He's a 44-year-old kickboxer going to pummel the fundraising target set up to hit back at cancer through his own charity Fight Night. James has teamed up with the Renfrewshire Sports Charity to stage a second event in Paisley. Last year, he raised an incredible £13,000 for the Beats and West of Scotland Cancer Centre in Glasgow in memory of 44-year-old Natalie Mulliton from Hawkhead. But this year, well, this year's a little different. So here is James to tell you all about it. So James, just tell me a wee bit about the event then.
The event is happening on April the 10th, which is a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock in the Paisley Green Leisure Centre.
So what is the whole reason behind you doing this event?
The whole reason behind this event is because a close friend of ours has a young child, a young boy, named Mitchell, who's seriously not well. And the event mainly is for him and the rest of the people in the cancer unit over at the Southern General to make their life a bit easier by contributing some money into the funding to support the hall and the kids in the unit itself. Mm.
So what will be taking place in the event?
A whole variety of things on the day. There'll be kickboxing there, boxing, Muay Thai, Taekwondo. There's a few Scottish specialist wrestlers taking part. There's a couple of dance acts taking part. We've got Britain's champion Keep You Up guy, and we've also got Scotland's champion arm wrestler guy as well. There's a whole loads of wee extras that I don't want to come forward just now because it's a wee surprise for the crowd. But it'll be a good eventful day. It's not just about the one thing, it's about all different sports.
Well, I think those particular sports and events will help raise money for the cause.
Basically, because it's a fight for life cause. Mm. We've called it Fight for Life, Fight Cancer, and obviously, like fighting or boxing or karate or any other martial arts, stuff like that. Every sport, you're fighting to win, aren't you? It's the same as life. If somebody's not well and they're sick with cancer, they're fighting for life every day. So blend the two of them in together, it's all about fighting and keeping your fitness going, and hopefully everybody will get through it.
Is it just local fighters from Paisley fighting?
No, there's fighters coming from Dundee. There's a few guys coming from Manchester, friends of mine. A couple of guys from Clydebank area, Paisley, Ayrshire, Irvine, two boys from Greenock. The wrestlers, obviously the Gredo, who's well known in Scottish television. He's bound a lot of friends, a couple of English guys as well. So it's a variety of people. It's not just Scottish people involved, there's a few English people involved as well.
Anything else you want to include about the event?
I would just like to thank everybody on the day who's coming to take part, whether it's boxing, kickboxing, karate, taekwondo, wrestlers, whatever, and all these guys have gave up their time and not asked anything in return for this good cause. And hopefully on the day, all the people in the Renfrewshire can get together, get some money in the bucket, get some money for the raffles, and put it into these charities and make these people's lives just a wee bit better. There's all sorts of prizes coming to be honest with you. There's all sorts of football tops, Semba Ronaldo, Rangers, Celtic, Dundee United, and obviously the Paisley St Mirren. There's a few complexes gave us special prizes, but we'll keep that on the day without spoiling it. Let the folks see that when they come. There's days out for all different stuff, and people will be surprised what they're getting.
So everybody come down to the event at Paisley's Lagoon Leisure Centre on Sunday the 10th of April. To get tickets, phone James on 0777 647 111. That is 0777 647 111. Come on, we need as much buddies as possible to help fight back at cancer.
That was James Murphy there discussing the charity Fight Night he has organised for this Sunday as he looks to raise funds to fight cancer. That's all we have time for this evening. We'll be back on Saturday as we bring you all the action live from the Falkirk Stadium as St Mirren take on Falkirk. But until then, come on you Saints.